Okay, so welcome to the additional use case realization call for April 1st, 3 p.m. ETC time. We're going to hear from Morgan Rochon, the PTO of integration, who's going to lead us through a discussion about the integration project and some of the activities going on there as we head into RC01 and 2. And so I'm going to hand over sharing to him. Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Morgan. Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. So, welcome. During this presentation, I will just give some historical reminder, then detail the integration scope, what we are doing, what we are not doing, and I will try to elaborate a little bit on the integration and use case relationship in terms of resource, support, automation, what we can provide, what, where we can help, and provide also some useful links. Real-time chat support and things like that. So this slide deck reflects my vision. I'm the integration PTL since Frankfurt release only. It's a work in progress deck, so it's open to modification, including from integration team, but also, of course, from use case team. If we found some consensus of if you believe it's valuable, it could be transformed into a some use guide for part of the official documentation. So it was not planned in Frankfurt, but I can imagine we could do that. Just the idea is to help the use case people, especially the newcomer when they arrive in ONAP. It's really a big project, so it's difficult not to get lost. And if the baseline of the slide can help, we probably can use it in order to create an official documentation. So the presentation is probably a bit late for you because we are approaching RC0 discussion plan TSA tomorrow. So I think it will be short for tomorrow, but we are very close to RC0, which is really the beginning of the final integration for the use cases. So it's very late in time. So some historical reminder first. So the project was created in June 27, so it was one of the first projects, not one of the first projects, but it was part of the first project created when ONAP was created, because it was used as a side project of all the different components coming from either OpenECOM or OpenOAuth, so integration was needed to mix everything and to provide some labs in order to verify that ONAP was doing what it was supposed to do. So integration is responsible for ONAP cross-project system integration, CI/CD, on all related end-to-end release use case testing with VNF necessary for the successful delivery and industry adaptation of the ONAP project as well. So you can see that the definition is very wide, very big. It's probably a problem because it means that the scope of integration is very, very big. We need probably to reduce, but until now, it's still the case. And you can see that there are several activities I will detail later. Since 2017, four PTLs have been leading this project. So, Ellen Chen and Yang Chu from Huawei first. Brian as acting PTL for El Alto, and myself for Frankfurt. And it's very, as we are in the middle of the game, it's interesting because we see lots of things. But we have lots of, the workload is quite. So we are managing several repositories. So integration repository, which is the main historical repository, integration / use cases / simulator / whatever, for a new use case. Test suite with all the robot and the script for the testing developed by integration. And demo, which includes the artifact, the heat templates, the JSON file of the different use cases. So it's the theory. In practice, sometimes it's mixed. People put some JSON stuff in integration. But yeah, globally, that's what we have. So the contributor to integration. Without surprise, there are quite a lot of people. The list of contributors is very big because we are managing the use case. We get a lot of contributors from the use cases. And we have our own development. So we have currently 8 committers. So it means people that have the plus 2 plus the merge right. So we could extend it to additional regular contributor. Probably we need to have a bunch of promotion in Poland very soon because several contributors there. And 71 authors over the last 6 months. So you can see that it's quite a lot. And it means that if we have 71 authors, we have 71 authors of patch. So lots of patch to review. We can see that the distribution in terms of company, initially AT&T was really leading the contribution integration with Huawei. Huawei disappeared because Huawei decided to remove all the Huawei US activities from ONAP. So very regular contributor who set in place most of the CI within the Wind River Lab stopped working on ONAP. So that's why Huawei decreased quite a lot. It was replaced by Samsung. Samsung is not very active, especially in terms of security, lintering, lots of things. So they're very good guys and providing good good work, good contribution. But now you can see that you have 3 or 4, 5 big contributors and lots of small contributors. Yeah, it's a statistic from the GitHub, so I will not detail, just to mention that for over the last 6 months, you can see that the activity is still high. It's more than 20,000 additions, 17,000 deletions in the integration repository with 44 authors. I think it's over the last month, so you can see that it's quite big. Test suite is on demo are usually a little bit more stable with less people, but it's still also it's still active.
Why are there so many deletions?
That's because some parts are deprecated and some use cases are not available anymore. Sometimes when you just modify something for the JSON, for example, it's considered as a deletion and recreation. So I think the statistics are not fully reflecting exactly what we have. But can explain most of it.
Okay, thank you.
So we have public web page for the integration reporting test. So it's testvessel.opinator.org/onap-integration. On this page, if you go there, you will see the different labs that we are using. So the historical lab, the Wind River Lab. So this one is ready for the community since Amsterdam version. It's provided for the use cases. So if you heard about SB00, SB01, SB02, 03, up to 04, correspond to use case labs that are deployed through a Jenkins CI chain that have been put in place by Huawei in Dublin, I think. It welcomes this Wind River Lab also tenants for the project. So if you look at the ISO, if you look at the AAF, or they have their tenant, they have their own VM, so they are working here. So that's really big infrastructure used by integration, by the use cases, and by the developer. And they are also running daily things, but they are not really reporting the results, but they have the Jenkins change to have some CI. Orange Labs introduced gating on the CI daily with public reporting since Dublin, or since El Alto, but Orange Lab was already there since Dublin. So Orange Lab has 3 types of labs. One is called Open Lab. This Open Lab is a community lab, so everybody can access to it through a SSH channel. So it's used to discover ONAP. It's always the last stable version of ONAP. So at the moment, it's El Alto, and it will remain El Alto until Frankfurt has been delivered. So it's always the last stable version. And the other ones are the CI labs. So gatings, that's when you create a new patch set in the installer. We redeploy a full on-app to verify that the patch set is not breaking anything. And we perform several tests, and we report the results at the end of this test. And CI/DD, same as gating. We are running, we are deploying every day a master with a set of tests. So for master and for stable. So that's two different labs that are running every day. And you can work on these labs only one day because it's reinstalled systematically every day. And we can track any regressions and any problem on this lab. Deutsche Telekom, they include the CI Daily Master results also in El Alto. So you don't have access to it. It's like for Orange. You have only access to the open labs. The other one are not accessible. If you want really to troubleshoot and to develop, it's usually on Wind River lab or on your own lab. You have also Ericsson Lab that is providing also daily master results based on the Jenkins jobs. And I mentioned also China Mobile Lab here for their own use case. They use their own lab, which is part of the integration lab. I put the link to the real-time super chat, so the one I just mentioned, team.onap.eu. On this chat, on more specifically on onap-integration, you may find people from the integration project. And if we can help in real time, of course, we do our best to help troubleshooting or fixing things. So that's for the labs.
Go ahead. Can I ask a question? That there's a auto test lab. Is that one of this or is that separate?
So here I just reference the test, the labs that are providing results to integration or that are participating to the integration meeting. So it does not mean that they are the only labs. So maybe there is auto labs, there is a AT&T lab sometimes, maybe there are other ones. But they do not report any result to me, so they are working for community, not a problem, but they are not consolidating their results in integration.
Okay. Another question is for the Wind River lab. I heard that from our design team, it's not very stable. So is that something we cannot use, or?
I don't know. There was some move. So physically, the lab was moved beginning of January in order to get more resources. I think today most of the tests in the previous version had been done in this lab. So I would not say it's not stable. I would say that the ONAP is not always very stable, but the Wind River lab and the open stack that is provided by Wind River, I would say that it's stable. But sometimes the ONAP installations are not so stable. They used to have some performance issues. And the resources are also limited. So when everybody is deploying its own lab, we may have some slowness that could explain. Because ONAP is very sensitive to timeout issues, so it could be a problem. But so far, AT&T team, I mean Brian or Marco, they are using this Wind River lab over the three or four last releases, and they did not report recently that there was some problem instability. But if you have some stability issue, we need to figure out what are the stability issue. We integrate some testing in El Alto because in El Alto people say okay there were some problems, so we arrange the OPNV front test suites in Wind River Lab, which allowed to detect some problem of configuration that we reported to Wind River, and they tuned that. And I think after that it was not bad. It was not the most fastest, it's one of the fastest labs in the world, but it was acceptable. And regarding all the OPNV front test criteria, I think it was not bad.
Okay. I have one question. That for the use case, that for the contribution we made for every release, at the end of the release, there will be some test cases. So what is the requirement of those test cases? It has to be tested in one of the lab, or it can be just tested locally?
Okay, so I will detail that after that. There is a section for that when I will speak about integration on use case. So I have a chapter dedicated to that.
I just have two questions. One, this time series initialization, is that also a lab? The thing you have the light blue there? You see the time series visualization, okay. Is that also a lab?
No, it's not a lab. Yeah, it's just because all the labs, they are providing results that we push in a database, okay? And time series visualization is just a menu when you can have a time series visualization of the evolution of the test. That's just another page that is providing. You can select your labs, so Deutsche Telekom or Orange or whatever, and then you can see, okay, I want to see the evolution of the LSEC test over the last 2 weeks, and then you have a timeline seeing the evolution of the lab. But it's not a lab.
Okay, I see. And I'm also curious, what is your opinion? Is the coronavirus affecting like the physical presence of people or access or availability of labs? Is that going to affect the deliveries in R6?
For the moment, we are crossing the finger. At least I know, I can speak for Orange Lab. Because at the moment, we don't have access anymore to our data center. So we are supervising our lab. But if for any reason we have a hardware crash, we will not be able to repair it easily. So sure, it could have an impact. I think it's the same for Wind River. They are hosted in Oregon or in California. I don't remember, but pretty sure the same for Deutsche Telekom. Andreas Lab is working from home. If they have some issues, then we will not be able to repair that. But we are also supervising our labs, so they are working. I say crossing finger, but it may have an impact for sure.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so continue, because I have two chapters. One is really dedicated on integration scope. I will try to explain you what we are doing on what we are not doing, what we are responsible for, what we are not responsible for. And at the end, there is more detail on the question that was raised. I have a use case, I have a test, what should I do, or should I proceed, or should I run locally, automated, how can we manage it? So I try to explain. But first, the integration scope. So here's the definition from the beginning. So there are 3 points. Cross-project, integration, CI/CD, and use cases. So it could be full project, but we have 3 projects. So for cross-project integration, we have several activities. We are managing Java Docker stuff to manage all the libraries, Java dependencies. So currently it's more managed by PAM, the team leader of policy, but regularly, based on the second recommendation, she has to upgrade the dependency in order to fix vulnerability or to improve the feature. And then we have to reproduce this Docker or this library that can be used by the other Java project. So that's managing the Java dependencies that are used by all the Java projects within Ona. We produce Java 11 Docker for components. When they have done their Java, they put that in a Docker. Historically, everybody was doing its own way. So we have as many operating systems as Docker. So it was very hard to maintain. We decided that we will provide an example. So we have the Java 11 Docker. All the projects did not use it yet. Very few projects moved to Java 11, to be honest. So still in Java 8. But those who decided to move, they can reuse this baseline on this Docker, and they can, of course, overwrite this Docker to use. We are maintaining what we call the CSIT Jenkins page, so that's integration test for the project. It's more a functional test of the project based on Docker Compose. It was created at the beginning by the integration project, but it's more really related to the project. So we are historically still doing that, and we are still fixing the version issue and when the the runner and migrated to new versions. We need also to make some adaptations. So we're still around. I would like to stop that sooner or later, but it's hard because it's still used by some projects. We are hosting different pages. So for Frankfurt, for example, we have a weather board. So it's sort of checklist for all the project PTMs. We have a testing blocking page when we summarize all the blocking issue from the integration perspective. So today we have four tables here. We have the issue without workaround, the issue, big issue with workaround, and we have two security table, one for the pod started as root and one for the public exposed HTTP port. So we maintain these four tables, and these four tables are used as criteria for the milestone decision. We have also a wiki page, so you should probably be familiar with this one. It's a wiki page dealing with all the use cases that have reported to be candidate for the release. So we have a big wiki page. So I would like in the future to migrate progressively from a wiki page to a CI gate, but it's not easy because of the automation of lots of things. But for the moment, it's really declarative. So when you want to do a use case and you have to declare your line here, you have to ask, okay, I need a lab. Okay, my documentation will be there. My wiki page will be there. So that's the, I would say, the cockpit for the follow-up of the use case. And since yesterday or since Monday, we have another page, which is just the readiness of the artifact. As integration PTM, I must verify that for the SC0, all the projects deliver the accurate versions, what they plan. So we automate the deployment, we automate the display of the versions included in the OM master, but we must ask the PTL, okay, you for the release, it will be 1.6.4 or 1.whatever, and we must really cross with them, and it's up to the integration to verify that. For the CI/CD, we are running the CIST daily, but we are also running end-to-end CI/CD, as I mentioned, in our different labs. It means that we are redeploying an on-app from scratch in different labs with different configuration. So we are running that, for example, on master on stable for the daily change. So every day we restart. And for the gating, as I said, a new patch sets change in the installation. We immediately test it. It means that we give feedback to the developer before they merge the change. So they have to wait 1 hour on 30, which is a time for full deployment. And we will have this kind of chain with this kind of results with a different test. For the test, we have five categories. One is infrastructure checks. We verify that all the deployment status check, that ONAP is healthy. Then we have the L check, so that's robot-based coming from integration, checking all the different components according to the L checks that is sent to us. You have end-to-end use case, so we try to onboard, distribute, and instantiate a very basic VM through all the different components by using an ONAP client. And then we have a candidate use case that we don't have for the moment, and we have all the security tests. So it consists in a scanning in a script in order to verify that the requirement from the security are okay. So you can see today all the security requirements are red. So for Frankfurt, three need to be green. And we are working on the daily basis on these three tests and we try to improve them. And regarding the question on the use case, so we also are in charge of a robot VM that is included in the OM when we deploy ONAP. It performs L checks. It also sometimes launches some pre-provisioning in different parts. So that was used for all the canonical examples, such as VFIO, closed loop, etc. So we have to deliver the robot VM. We have to deploy the lab solution in Wind River. So Marco Plotania is doing that through the Jenkins chain. So for example, beginning of the week, he redeployed SB01 in Wind River, which is the candidate lab for the use case. It's a pre-Frankfurt. So it's not with release version, it's with staging version. But until we got the RC0 Docker, it's the good place to test. And we provide support through the mailing list or through the real-time chat to the different use cases. But we, here's the page is to mention what we are not. So we are not the Linux Foundation IT. So we are not responsible of the creation of the repository. Usually we are the intermediate. So especially now I'm asking for a new use case, a new simulator. So it was not systematic in Frankfurt, but it will become more systematic in Berlin to have dedicated repo for dedicated use case. So we are able to perform some tests and some to have a better view on the maintenance, because so far everybody was pushing everything at the same place, which makes the repository totally unmaintainable. So now we are changing that, but it means that we have to create regularly repository. And for that, I need to follow the procedure, which consists in asking hardware or infrastructure coordinator. I need to create a wiki page. Then I need to ask infrastructure coordinator, I need repository. Then the coordinator studies a page and give a feedback to the TSC. Then the TSC must accept that, and then I am allowed to create a ticket to Linux Foundation to create a repo. So in GitLab.com, it took me 2 minutes. In ONAP, it took me between 1 day and 3 weeks, depending on the activity of the people in the chain. But it's not self-service, and it's not our fault. Same, we are not in charge of the Nexus, so when you don't find any Docker because they have been removed, and it's not integration, we are not responsible for that. It's managed by LFIT. Same for Gerrit, for Jenkins. 2 days ago, they upgraded a version of Gerrit, so lots of people were surprised because they were not able to commit code, but it's just because they were not using, they did not upgrade their client. But here, typically, it's not integration to do that. The Jenkins part is also offered by the Linux Foundation, but you can see that it's also like for the repository, we need lots of authorization, lots of committee and things like that. So that's why finally for the end-to-end testing, for the daily CI change and for the gating, we moved everything out of ONAP and we are doing that in GitLab.com directly in the public GitLab.com. So we are not LFIT, okay? We are not a use case project. It means that we do not write the code of the simulator, the test scenario. We do not define the requirement of the project. We do not define the architecture. If in your use case you need some interconnection between one DC and another DC, it's not up to integration to do that. It's really proper to the use case project. Of course, we host technically lots of repository, which includes the simulator. We host the artifact on the different part of the use case. So we can, of course, help on that, but we are not developing them. We develop sometimes our own code. So it was done for some use case, and we maintain them. But over time, we will not maintain all the use cases, probably only the ones that can be automated will be managed long-term by integration. We are not responsible of the project test. So as I say, it's not clear for all the project tests. So because historically the L-checks were created by people that were not directly, they were in integration and not directly in the project. So that's why we have this gap between the project and the quality of the L-checks we expect. And if you look at Frankfurt today, we got new version of almost all the components, and we got almost no upgrade of the L-check, which is not normal, because if they upgrade, if they create new feature, it should be covered by some testing, but they do not provide the testing associated with the codes they're providing. So that's also something that must be changed. I already said in the DDF in Prague, I will say it again for Berlin. It was part of the three main items reporting when we create LALTO post-mortem reporting, that we need to improve that, and that the project must be aware that they should provide their component on the way to test it in an integration way. We are not responsible of the certificate renewals. So if you are familiar with an app, regularly there is a crisis because we discover that certificates are more valid. So it happens with ANI on the 26th of March, with another one on the 27th. So we are not the entity that is creating certificate. It's managed by AF project. And then AF project is creating certificate for component, then is putting that in a database, is snapshotting the database that is releasing. So it's very bad way to do that in terms of security, I think. But it's a way it's done, and integration is not involved in that. Okay. We are not responsible for the security expectation, so that's a SecCom. We are performing security tests. We create cross-fail list in order to whitelist, if you want, to exclude some projects, some pods from the testing. Same case, they have a waiver in order to because they cannot do this security rule, they cannot apply that. Okay, there is a reason why, so we put them into this cross-fail list. But the cross-fail list is validated by SecCom. So we are just running the test and by using the whitelist according to their request. The same, we create the Java 11 Docker, but we are not responsible to impose Java 11 Docker to all the project. We are not responsible of the Docker version of the component, okay? The reference is the own master. We do an override with staging version, so what we are doing in Unreal only for pretest. But the versioning, it used to be also a bit complex, and I think during the three or four first versions, it changed because it was never a very good solution. So we decided that we don't have any Excel file, we don't have any staging manifest, we don't have anything like that. The reference is the OM master branch, and that will be what will be used for the Frankfurt release. And that's under the OM responsibility. When integration will report that the solution is ready to be is ready because all the project will have delivered that Docker, we will report it to OM that will be ready to branch. And they will branch a Frankfurt branch, and it will be up to all the project that creates their self-release to branch from this point. And it, there is no additional duplication of the information. The information of the Docker version is in OM and only in OM. And there is no staging branch or whatever. The OM master is the right branch until we branch. Okay, that's for integration. Do you have any question on the integration scope?
I have a question. Who is responsible for the maintenance of the robot scripts and so on?
So that's a good question. So which robot script? Because there are tons of robot scripts. I would like that the robot script associated with the component, so the L-check, should be under the responsibility of the project. And every time they provide a new feature, they should provide an upgrade of this Docker, of this robot script. Okay, so that's the theory. The practice is not the case, because if you look at the moment, we fix lots of problems of security because lots of the components were exposing HTTP ports. So they close the HTTP port. But the change in the test for using HTTPS has been done by integration people, not by them. And it was a very simple change to be done. So I think robot check should be under the responsibility of the project. And they should improve them. So the quality is very different from one project to another, but there are lots of place for improvement for that. The robot script that I use by use case, they are under the responsibility of the use cases. And the robot script used for use case that we use in CI should be under the responsibility of integration, because it means that they will be more mature. For example, I tried to integrate for Frankfurt PNF registration, so a use case developed by Nokia and that was running for El Alto. So I hope we will be able to run that. And in this case, in our CI, then we will become partly responsible of the maintenance. We can imagine that people who develop the use case after two or three releases will not be as active, or will be. So it will be to integration to take over the responsibility. But it makes sense only if it's we can automate it. because we cannot become responsible of all the use cases. And you know, the use case usually, not always, but sometimes we develop a use case because we have an exhibition or a show somewhere planned in the year, and we want to demonstrate something. So we put some effort until we demonstrate the use case for the given release. And when it's done, everybody is affected to other projects. So this kind of resources, that's hard to take over, because but if it can be automated, then we can imagine to make extra effort before the end of the test case to integrate things. So it really depends on the way we are doing. We should be responsible only of what we are writing.
So the concrete case I have is that, let's say, there is a script for the automation of the firewall version instantiation, and this script was in practice prepared by Brian. So my question now is, who will have to cover it? Because Brian is, will be less active in this project.
I think the VFirewall is typically a canonical example, so I think it should be up to integration team. But I try to work a little bit with Brian in order to integrate in CI. But the problem is the script today, it's based on prerequisite that has done an installation, so it's very hard to isolate the script out of it. But if you look at the one, for example, Brian made the adaptation for Frankfurt for all the HTTPS, so he still can work on it.
The question is if we can make all from Brian upon his availability, of course, to make this basic instantiation scripts working from Frankfurt, of course, in the direction to include these use cases into the CSIT. Because then my use case, this is the traffic distribution which transforms into the upgrade. Today is 90% automated, perhaps even 100% could be automated. So potentially it can be transformed into the CSIT test case. So
the CSIT, as I say, for me, it's really not a target because it's not a target deployment. In CSIT, you are using a Docker Compose, and you are running mock things, so it's functional test for the project. So it can be used for functional tests. But if you want really to be integrated in CI, you should have the end-to-end test run at the end of installation of a daily suit. So that's different, because here you will run your use case in a real on-app. It will not be a fake on-app with a Docker Compose that is not been updated for a long time. Here it's as a real on-app that will be used. So that's two different things.
I had in mind CI, not CSIT.
Okay, but in CI, so regarding the feature I show for the moment, end to end, I have very basic test, and I have only PNF registration, which is not finalized for Franco.
Okay.
We can imagine to have your use case or other use case, and if we put them here, then it fully becomes a responsibility of integration, because it means that we will run in any CI. And it will become part of the gate. So it means anybody installing a non-app anywhere, you will be able to set up a gate and run the test automatically. But it's hard because it means that everything should be automated. And I will discuss that in the next section.
So this is the direction for me, at least, to have everything automated where possible. So I think it could be good to have this robot script working, because I have adapt to have it working for Frankfurt version after the change of the way how the on-app is installed in the WindRiver. Because if okay. I'm not wrong.
Christopher Kusinki, he made it work as a vFirewall deployment. He had to change something in the robot, and he has to use a staging SO, but everything, it was working today, so he was able to distribute the model and to use them.
Okay, so we will see.
Okay, so let's move to integration and use case. So here we have a different roadmap. So you can see the use case roadmap according to release management. I took everything from the wiki here, and we have the integration that is following its way. So the use case has to define their use case. There are different scorecards that are validated at each step with by the TC, etc. And they decided what is a priority, whatever, if it's feasible or not. On our side, we have milestones, which are a bit different, and we're not doing the same thing. And as you show in previous sections, we're doing lots of different things, so it's very hard to be very homogeneous here, but anyway. At the RC0, we should get all the use case, the Docker version for the release, and we should deploy them into the Wind River. And then grant the access to the use case to this. So of course, the creation of the access must be done before, the creation of the account, everything should be prepared, but at RC0, then the use case should be able to come on to play on the Wind River Lab to test their use case. Okay, so that's the two milestones. So there are different synchronizations for the preparation of the resource, for the preparation of the request. So I try to summarize like that. As use case, you need to have a team, you need to define a scope, and very early in time, you have to go to the project or say, for my super use case, I need this feature, this feature. This is not available in an app. Will it be implemented in the next release? So that's a question and answer discussion between use case team and the project. Then at the end, it's gone through requirements that are validated by the TSC. At the same time, you need resources you need to prepare resources. So you need maybe test plan, simulator, to develop some scripts. You need also to have a lab to test your things. So that kind of question, you also start discussing with integration in order to get resources. And it will be also validated by the TSC according to them. And when we are approaching the release, so at M4, it's a code freeze. At code freeze, we could start getting staging Docker. So it's a pre-release, I would say. It's a pre-release. Today, we are at M4. We even did not reach M4 because some of the criteria have not been met. But TSC decided to postpone M4 criteria to RC0. But at the end, the M4, if they are not met, we should not pronounce the RC0. Maybe they will pronounce it and say it will be for RC1. I don't know, they create lots of milestones and lots of constraints and they don't follow the rules, they just create exception when they see that we are late. But okay, that's not another topic. But for us, at least from M4, you should be able to start testing. And for RC0, it should be, at RC0, you should be able to test on the real target environment. It means that it's what we are supposed to deliver. So if you detect bugs, you can raise Jira, and then they can create you hotfix that we can test through staging version. Otherwise, they will include them in the RC1, RC2, until we reach the release. And after M4, we have a discussion between use case, integration, and project working together in order to finalize that. And in the wiki page, we regularly visualize the progress of the use case to see if we have under 80%, 90%. And the goal at the end is that this wiki page, everything is green, is 100% done. And for the release, the final decision is, of course, the TSC that will validate or not the decision. So my view of the chronology of a use case, you must define a use case, scope, requirement, resource, whatever you do. The first things to do is to make it run in your local lab. And usually that's the case. The use case must be documented for M4. So everybody from integration team should be able to understand. And we should have a sort of procedure in order to replay the test in another lab. So of course, it's more or less complex depending on your use case. If you need a complex simulator or hardware that we have only in one lab, it will not be possible. But in theory, on M4, we should really be able to understand that. Ideally, I would like, but I think integration team is maybe not big enough, to associate an integration reference to the use case. So a guy who will be in charge of follow the use case over the between the M4 to the release in order to help to facilitate the integration. Then the use case should be run in an integration lab. So with the real release candidate Dockers, because for release, if you are accepted in a release, we cannot just say, okay, it's working in my lab. So it's not acceptable. It should be runnable in a neutral lab, except one more time, if your use case is very complex and requires specific hardware, then we cannot reproduce. Then, of course, you can imagine a waiver, but most of the use case today should be reproducible in an integration lab. And the use case, so the test plan must be executed 100% at the end to get 100% and to say, okay, we are ready for the release. We can include this use case in the release note. It has been successfully tested and fully integrated. So that's the main steps for me. And optionally, if we can integrate it in CI, it's better, but it means that we need some maturity here, because usually, and I will detail the automation, I see also several steps for the automation, okay? Because it will really depend to get access to the resource. By default, all the new use cases are candidate for CI integration. It means we have a dedicated section, candidate use case. They will become a smoke use case, so the difference between smoke and candidate. Candidate is for fresh use cases, and smoke, it means that it has already run over several versions before. So we assume that ONAP is coming with sample. This is part of the sample. It must work. It must work. So for example, the firewall closed loop, which is a canonical example, I expect that sooner or later we'll put it in the CI. So we can say that from a new version, and even in the daily master, we do not break the gate, and we can be sure that every time we install ONAP, we can run this use case. But it requires more maturity, of course. So today, the basic smoke use case are very basic. We have a basic VM, so it's using VNF API to onboard, distribute, and instantiate a simple VM. Of course, I'm working for a service provider, so you can imagine. So if I report to my manager that with an app, I'm able to deploy an Ubuntu VM, okay, it's not very very nice. We expect 5G, we expect lots of things. But here, that's the test that is done. And it's useful to detect if we have any regression, because even for this simple, very simple use case, you put in place all the mechanisms from GSO, from GSDC, from GSDC, from the NI. So it's important to have it. We have one for free use NBI, so it takes external API. So instead of calling GSO, you call this module. We used to have also a Clearwater IMS, so because it looks a little bit more telco-like, even if it's relatively simple. And we have the PNF registration that was done by Nokia in El Alto. But for the moment, none of these tests are working, because at the moment we have a problem between SO and SDNC in master Frankfurt, preventing this kind of test to work. And it's only VNF API, so there is no GR API. There are lots of materials inside the robot script, but then there are lots of work to do in order to make it runnable in CI. And runnable in CI, it means fully runnable. It's not just, I can run it because I run it.
Oh, wait, I have a question on the previous slide. So the point on the number 3, where the use case is documented, so it could in theory be replayed in another lab, this is the read the docs, or are you talking?
Yes, that's the read the docs.
Okay, and so that's one of the things I think the use case teams are struggling with a little bit, because people are still learning how to add stuff to the read the docs thing. I know Zoo's added it, and I'm starting to learn how to do it too, but we're looking into, I think, maybe making a new repo, because right now everything is, all the use case stuff is in the integration repo, and I think Andreas Geisler had suggested maybe adding a new repo.
For Frankfurt, it will be in integration for sure.
Yeah.
For our next release, documentation is planning to change totally the way they are doing, because they were using submodule, Git submodule, it was a mess. So for the moment, as I said, not only the doc, but lots of things are only in integration, which is a fat, messy repository. For Gulin, and we started also for Frankfurt, for example, the MDANS repository should be available. It has been accepted, so I'm waiting for him. The BBS repo is already there. The BBS was already there for the use case, is already there for several releases, but we created a use case repo only 2 weeks ago. So I suppose for Frankfurt, the documentation will be in the use case in the use case repository. So you will have your own doc here. It will not be an integration. Okay. But for the one, technically speaking, it does not change anything because even if you have access to this repo, the Gerrit things will not change. It's just change of repo, but at the end, it's exactly the same process. You need to produce RST file at M4 in order to have a good view of your use case. You should avoid, when it's possible, to make reference to the wiki, because the wiki is just a working place. It's not an official documentation place. So lots of use cases are doing things in wiki, and then they create a read the doc, just a link with the wiki. But anybody can make change in wiki. There is no real control. So the links are broken. They are refactoring. They are changed. So the official documentation must be the official documentation as much as possible. And it should be hosted in integration now and in the future in the use case repository.
So do you expect if there's a lot of documentation in the wiki that it be moved, that content be moved into the read the docs? Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
But I think lots of projects already did that. We can accept to have some links referencing to read the doc, to the wiki. I will not force people to write everything in the RST. But the more we are, that's the only official source form. That's the read the doc. All the other things are discussions, are work discussion, working discussion, but it's not official. So the more we have in read the doc, the better for everybody, because we have some formal way to deliver documentation in read the doc. It looks more official. Of course, there are more constraints, but it's also more trustable somehow, because on its version, which is not the case in the wiki. In the wiki, we have, for example, I don't know how many pages dealing with the vFirewall. We have different tutorials. And if you have a newcomer, you are coming to the wiki, you are lost because you are trying a procedure. Okay, it was not working for this version, but you don't know it's not written in the pack, in the page. So you get lost very easily. If you go to read the doc, you know precisely this doc has been written for this version. And this version reference this kind of procedure. And then there, if you need to update it, it will be versioned. So that's less risky than using the wiki.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, the automation. So several steps I see. So first of all, no automation at all. So it's just documentation. So you do it step by step. It's acceptable at the M4 if we have already, it can be enough for a release. I mean, if you already described in the documentation how to do that, and if it's clear, it can be reproduced, it's a first step, but it's enough. Then you have partial automation, when you will just save time using some Bash, Python, robot, Go, whatever scripts to simplify some parts, maybe leverage an existing script, so in robot or whatever. But usually in this partial automation, you consider that all the environment is already there. So you don't have to create the resource. You don't have to have a pre-existing tenants, network, public IP, whatever. So everything is there. You just create some script in order to simplify the way to launch your new stuff. When you go in advanced part, it means that you start getting a set up, tier down of resources. So your script take into account the fact that if you need specific networks, you need to create them before you run the test. Then it's included in this automation. So it means that you need to have some credential from the infrastructure in order to be able to create that. And the full automation is something that you have in CI, and then you have one-click deployment, and everything will be run, the setup, the teardown. You will clean the resource at the end, and you will be able to run and to report the results. So there is no manual operation in the middle. In advanced automation, it can happen if you have things that are not easy to synchronize, if you need to have a status from one simulator, something that is hard to synchronize, you can imagine to have one or two manual operations. When you have full automation, it's one click deployment and test. And automation is then not possible in different cases. If you use proprietary VNF, for example, if you are working for a vendor, it's impossible to automate because usually you have licensing. And we will are not going to put in our CI a licensing server that will ask for license. So we need also to respect the law, very simple, as simple as that. So it will not, it will be too hard to put in place. So we decided not to consider VNF, the property of VNF for automation at this level, at least in integration. If you use specific tooling, so if you need a Spirent or a Nixia simulator that also require some license to run, if you have, you need a physical RAM or physical equipment, so, okay, it could not be reproduced in other labs, it's impossible. So don't try to automate, try just to automate the first level, it will be okay. And of course, it's also not possible if you have not access to the resource in order to create the setup on teardown. But in Wind River and in Orange Lab, it's possible to get access to it. And typically, when we create our basic VM, when we are in the CI, we provide an OpenStack resource file that can be used by the project in order to create VM tenant project VM network within a given tenant. So we offer the capabilities for the use case to use that in order to prepare the resource. Today in Wind River, it was done a little bit different. So it was done through robot script and through script that were run at the very beginning at the installation. So that's not a good practice because it means that if you miss the installation, then you there are some projects on VMs that are not available. But there is a link between the installation and the test, and we should. Should not have this kind of things. So integration in CI, so that's something we can help you. When you have reached this one step, one click stage, of course you can come back to integration. We use a specific framework called cross-testing that has been developed in OPNAV, which allows to launch tests, whatever the kind of tests you're launching. Because the problem as integration people is that we have people who are using one framework, another framework, some are using Bash script, some are using Python, some are using a robot script, and at the end, some are producing HTML pages, some are producing log files, some are producing CSV files, some are producing things in database. So everybody is very heterogeneous. So that's why we're using cross-testing, because it harmonizes the inputs and the outputs. We just have one file to define the use cases. And then we have different driver, Bash, Python, robot, whatever, and all the results will be managed the same way. So that's why we are using this framework. And at the end, you have nothing to do as the use case provider. You just have to provide your script starting the test, and then all the results are pushed automatically in database, and we can use it for Jenkins or GitLab CI or what any CI chain, because it's embedded in a Docker function. So that's what we are using, but that's only when you reach the one click stage, and then you can integrate it in CI. So that's the last slide. I'm already late, but I have still also some open question. Today, most of the use cases want to do use cases in master. We can imagine when ONAP becomes more stable, than performing a use case in stable. So today, for example, working on Elalto and providing a use case for Elalto makes sense. Doing use case for the next release, it's good for the release matter, but it's always a bit complex because you have all this integration time at the end, which is relatively reduced. And you can see that we got the Docker version relatively late. On the time between the RC0 and the release is short. So that's something, and it was the same a little bit in OPNAV before. So the synchronization of the use case with the synchronization of the release, it's not necessarily fully meaningful. We should have a use case roadmap and a non-app roadmap, and use case could be deployed on the last table, except if they need specific deployment. But then they would take the risk to be late. So that's the question on my side. And I think it would make sense to also welcome use case that will be run on top of the last table, not only on the last master. Use case representative and artifact already mentioned, so we would like to see more and more use case having their own repository so they can do whatever they are in their directory, and it will be much easier to maintain at the end. Because we could archive when it will be finished, when nobody will take care of that, because that's what we experience today. In our integration repository, people came, they made one or two versions, made the adaptations, and now they stop, they are not contributing anymore. It's a game in the open source community. So we have code in Python 2.7 that will never be fixed because the people who are taking care of it are not working on that anymore. If we put everything in a dedicated repository, if we can see that there is no activity for more than one year, then the use case repository become automatically archived and deprecated. So it will be easier to manage if we separate. So the worst aspect is that from integration, I have to deal with lots of repository. But if we structure them correctly, so the integration use cases, integration simulator, at the end, it should be easier, even if we have lots of repository. Okay, and the last question was more on the resources. Integration team is not so big. So Brian and Marco are managing most of the work in Wind River, especially in the automation and the redeployment. They are still working on it, of course, they are still helping us, but they say that they will move on next release. So we may have a shortage of resources. And I think it's finished. Yeah, sorry. So we are only 5 on bridge anymore because.
Great. Any other questions from Morgan?
Is this slide available?
Yes, they are already.
Zoo, I put them on last week's, and I'll upload them here again to this week's call.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Morgan, very much. And this time we didn't have any technical problems, so that's very good. Thank you for your time. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Bye.